You know, we laugh at those things that are so true. Don't we look at life that way? Don't we look at life through the lens of our perceptions, our sense of reality, our upbringing, our environment, all those things that create this thing I call David? Don't I look through the world through those lenses? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, is about looking at the world through those lenses, for indeed that's what happens. You know, when I was a little kid, I was not a very good drawer. So people would go, yeah, I can see that that's the house or whatever it is you said you made. So I always thought that I was pretty crummy at art. I carried that with me for years and years and years. In fact, I still carry it with me to a certain degree. And it's not a big deal. I can go through life not being an artist. But for years I thought of myself less than, because I couldn't do what so-and-so did. I couldn't be the artist. I couldn't be the guitarist. I couldn't be the singer, whatever it might be. I couldn't be. And so that became these little things that run in the back of your head. They're like a do tape. And they're really hard to get rid of. Let me tell you, they're really hard to get rid of. Now, those are simple ones. There's obviously bigger ones that we all deal with that come up. You know, my daughter's now almost 40, and she can still punch my buttons. It's like, I thought I grew up someplace along the line, but I guess that's not yet happening. Because something will happen, and it goes right back to when she was 12 years old. I mean, it was just boom, like that. And I think I'm bigger, wiser, and stronger, and smarter, but I don't know about that. But those things affect my relationship with her. Now, she knows she can punch my buttons. I'm not sure, this is a two-way street. But that still affects my relationship with her, those buttons. And so part of it is for us to step into whatever it is. I mean, I'd like to have a relationship where she doesn't punch. Well, even if she punches my button, I don't care. I don't know. I let it go. I haven't. I'd like to. I certainly would like to. But all of those things that have occurred in our lives are the dirt on our window, so to speak. I once took a typing class back when I was switching from longhand to a keyboard. And I was fortunate I had assistants that could interpret my language, my writing. I had a dictaphone at one point in time, which I thought was pretty cool. They didn't. And then we got to do our own thing, right? So I was not a very fast typer. So I took this thing called a Mavis Bacon typing tutorial. Did anybody take the Mavis Bacon? So the whole idea is that, well, the one I took, you were driving a car, and the words come up on the screen on the windshield, and as you type, you're following these words and you're typing along, and as soon as you make a mistake, a bug goes, splats right on the windshield. Well, I can tell you what, it didn't take me very long before I couldn't see outside the windshield and I crashed my car. But those are those kinds of things that, as I think about it, the burning bowl process, really, it's about scrubbing that space. It's scrubbing our windshield so that we can see out and see more clearly. When I look at somebody and say, okay, you are the face of God, I see the Christ in you, and you are somebody that's 180 degrees away from what I consider myself to be, 180 degrees against my values, 180 degrees of what I think we should do with our brotherhood with mankind, all those kinds of things. And I see the Christ in you. I would be a liar if I said, I have a real hard time with that. I have a real hard time with somebody that's that far away from the values that I hold dear and what I believe is part of my humanity. So how do I do that? How did Christ look into the face of any one of us and see the perfection that we are? And then how can I do that? How can I do that to a better degree than I can do right now? And the way we do that is to step outside of our ego, because our ego has developed all of these things to protect us. That's his job, is to provide us a protective vehicle to run around on the planet with in this physical form. And so the ego does lots of things to protect us. Maybe not always for our best good, however. And then it becomes, starts thinking that it is the driver of my bus. And for a lot of it, it probably is the driver of my bus. It helps make sure that I don't bang into things that I shouldn't be banging into. But the real driver of my bus is Spirit, God, our Creator. That's the real driver of our bus. And so I believe that what Jesus was able to do was to say, hey, the Father and I are one, period. End of sentence. There's no more. That's the end of it. The Father and I are one. God and I are one. I am of the Father. On and on and on. He was really trying to say, you know, the ego has its function, but it's not the driver of your bus. It sits in the back just like the rest of them. So as we look at these little things, and particularly what's serving me now, I go back and I think about, okay, what doesn't work? What really would I like to switch up? Maybe it's that not being able to see the Christ in somebody that's 180 degrees from where I stand. Whatever that might be, those things are something that we can work on to release. And that's what we're going to do here in a moment. And in your little packet you got with the card, there should be a really thin piece of paper. That's what we're going to write our releases on. So I end up with a... Every year we go through this thing. I've been doing burning bowls for 25, 30 years at least. And oftentimes they're a similar framework to the things that I want to release. And I think about that. Why is that? What is it that I don't want to let go of that's so important that I pick it up in a different form? And I think I'm chipping away. I'm here to tell you that I'm making progress. I'm a work in progress. But it's, you know, is it a fear of the unknown? If I let go of this thing, will I not be protected? Is my ego so important that I can't break that little chain? But what I do know is that those things project my future. How many of you have been in a relationship that didn't go well? And then, fast forward, and here comes another relationship, and the same things start popping up, and you go, well, I know what the future's going to look like. Okay. I know what the future's going to look like. I just went through it 10 years ago, 15 years ago, yesterday. But it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. We can look at it with new eyes. It may turn out that way. I'm not going to stand here and say it might. But I don't know that it has to be that way. So part of this whole process of releasing is to free up our future for whatever may come in to manifest. And so I don't know exactly what the thing is, but I don't know if it's really important. I think what's important is that we can let that go to a higher power. We don't have to know why I hold on to those things. We can let it go to a higher power and lean on that. So the first step is to forgive. If you think about forgive, it really means to give for. For me, freedom to take away the power that I've given that circumstance to predict my future. Conditions happen. Life happens. And somehow, sometimes we give it power that it doesn't have. It doesn't belong. We give it our power away. It's going to happen again, so therefore I don't want to get into that relationship. It's going to happen again, so therefore I want to stay away from whatever that thing is. So we want to let go of that power. And the good thing is, we've got God on our side. Spirit, the divine, right there. We can give it up to Spirit. So I invite you to close your eyes for a moment. We'll do a quick little meditation here. And as a tee up to that, I'd like you to read you a poem called If. If only if would disappear, I live my life now and be present right here. If only did not exist, I'd quit rewriting the past with my perceptional twist. If only would only go away, I could stop regretting things that I can't unsay. If only would lose its grip, I would not make it to as my future trip. If only if would just depart, I could live each day with an open heart. If only if would leave my ear, I'd live my life free of fear. If and I never met, I'd be able to forgive and blessedly forget. If only if would disappear, I'd live my life now, be present right here. What are the ifs in my life that I want to let go of? I invite you to take a couple of deep breaths. On the in-breath, just think, God is. And on the out-breath, I am. God is. I am. God is all that is. And I am a manifestation of Spirit. So, Spirit, we ask you, what is it that no longer serves us? What thoughts, conditions, circumstances? What are those things that help me hold on when I don't want to hold on? What are those chains? What are my persistent thoughts? Not worthy enough, not capable enough, too old, too young. Not sensitive enough, not open enough. What would I undo if I could? What would I unsay that I have said? Thank you, sweet Spirit, for the guidance, for the honesty. As we prepare to come out of meditation, again, take a couple breaths. God is, I am. So now, whatever came bubbling up, I invite you to just put it on that sheet of paper. You don't need to write a paragraph. Spirit knows what you're going to write before you write it. This is for you. A little reminder, a word, part of a sentence.